testified.
Blog Talk Radio.
National Border Patrol Council President Brandon Judd believes the Biden administration will keep the policy known as Title 42 in place.
That's only because other Democrats are putting pressure on them. If it wasn't for that, no, they would have just completely let it go.
Title 42 is a Trump-era order that blocked asylum seekers from entering the country during the pandemic. Mayorkas' first appearance before the committee on Thursday comes as the Biden administration is catching heat from Republicans and Democrats over its plan to loosen the border policy. 2 weeks of jury selection ahead of the sentencing phase of convicted Parkland, Florida school shooter Nicholas Cruz is being tossed aside. Judge Elizabeth Scherer this morning granted the prosecution's request to start over because 11 potential jurors who were improperly dismissed were not summoned back to the court for another round of questioning. She's telling the more than 200 people that were asked to return for a second phase of screening they're now no longer needed.
All right, you'd be seated and redirected.
Actor Johnny Depp and his ex-wife Amber Heard are back in a Virginia courtroom today as their defamation trial continues for a third week. Heard is expected to take the stand along with actors Paul Bettany, James Franco, and entrepreneur Elon Musk. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
KKNW can help you build a rewarding show and podcast. Here's just one of our happy hosts.
Hi, this is Dr. K, host of Dr. K's Attuning to Your Abundance. I emphatically recommend you to the team at KKNW. The station is a great place for lots of messages, especially poets, writers, storytellers, singers, and musicians.
Learn more about hosting your own show and podcast. Call 425-653-1150.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly rain on and off throughout the day today. High temperatures around 57, 58 degrees. Tonight, clouds and rain will hang around. Low temperatures dropping down to about 42, 41. For Tuesday and the rest of the week, pretty much a cloudy, wet, rainy week with high temperatures hovering in the mid-50s and low temperatures in the low 40s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. We've got a great lineup for you today. But first, let me give a shout-out to my producers for today. Hello there, Mr. Benny and Jacob. How are you both?
Hi, Pat. Doing well.
Hey, doing well today.
Yeah. Okay, so can I just throw you two in on something here before I introduce Elise Marie, fabulous guest. So I was all like curmudgeon like Scrooge when I heard that not Ben Affleck, but Robert Pattinson was going to play Batman. I was like, all like, what was that like? I was like, that was like Tom Cruise playing Lestat. Oh, God. Elise is like right there with me, right? Okay. I must confess, I will eat my words. The movie was one of the darkest sides of the Batman I had ever seen, and yet you could have done an entire psychology paper on the entire movie, and he was perfect for it. And I just need to tell him, I'm sorry, I didn't really say anything. I was trying to be objective. I was backing up. But I got to tell you, dude, you can wear that Batman mask better than anybody with those cheekbones and the deal. And by the way, Zoe, I got to tell you, I had a little concern right there, but you did play a very different Catwoman. And we were just talking about cats. So you played the contemporary, I'm going to show my face, Catwoman. And you did that. Now, why are we talking about this? Because I have one foot in our pop culture. I really do. You all know that. 20 years, you have been hearing me talk about all sorts of crazy things. But I have this other foot in this other world. And I think you need to have both feet. And that's what my very special guest today is really about. And so this is what I love. I love to be able to look at, talk about. When you're thinking about, think about this, the beauty witch. I love it. Actually, I thought that was Stevie Nicks, but I will back up from that. But Elise Marie, passionate about plant-powered lifestyle, all of the above. But here's what we're talking about today. Whether you know her for being a contributor in multi-magazines, whether you know her for her eco Lux line of beauty products, whether you know her for the many, many things she does, but one of the things you should also know is that she is a conjurer. I love this. A conjurer. And what that means is you conjure up potions. You conjure up ideas. You put things together. You draw from ancient traditions to bring forward into a contemporary time. See, I think she's got one foot over there and also one foot in our pop culture as well. Today, get ready for this really cool book and much more, because this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about what does this mean to live in the enchantment of what we call our lives. Elise, great to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to be here.
What do you think about the Batman thing I said with Pattinson?
I have not seen it.
Okay.
I'm not.
I won't give you a spoiler.
Oh, no, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. I'm working my way up to it. I have my opinions about who should play who, always. I mean, I would have gone for a Don Helm, a slightly mature Batman. That's just me. And I have
interesting,
to,
right?
Yeah, I have to work my way up to a Catwoman that is not Michelle Pfeiffer.
I can't do it. I mean, can you do it?
I'm having a hard time because
okay.
was kind of the ultimate to me. And if you had to choose someone else, I have a few people in mind, but and I love Catwoman. I love Catwoman.
I love Catwoman too. You know, it's interesting because, you know, what we're talking about here today is the beauty witch, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things we're talking about here today. We're probably going to talk about many things, but we're also talking about you, and we're talking about your life's journey. And look, I want to ask you a question. I mean, I grew up in New York. I lived there on the East Coast most of my life. But when you're in that environment and you are there too, and you're featured in as many places, I want to ask you this. How did you get to be you? What kinds of challenges and obstacles, Elise, did you have to overcome to get here to be you, this amazing woman that is out in the world internationally with a very powerful message? What did you have to overcome to get there?
Well, thank you for saying that. I think like a lot of people, you have a lot of things to overcome, be it things when you're a child. I didn't have the easiest young life, for certain, and I always questioned everything. I still do. And so there was definitely a journey when I was much younger, when I was a teenager, that prompted a lot of what you see now, which was an interest in, this was the 80s, so, you know, you didn't have access to what you have now at all. Not literally physically in a shop, and certainly not online, there was no online. So there was a time when I was between 14 and 16 where things were really coming together with, I was discovering metaphysical things and occult things. I had this interest. And again, you had to go to a library. You had to find things. You couldn't just click, 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 and it was there. And I was also getting an awareness because I had some older friends that had lived in the city. I was in the suburbs and really hard to get hold of anything.
Yeah.
And I had some friends who were older who had become vegetarian and become very active in everything to do with that. Animals, yes, but also some awareness of an environmental impact of everything you do.
Yeah.
And so this was all kind of coming together at the same time. And I was asking a lot of questions and I wasn't getting a lot of answers. And so I had to go find those answers. And it led to, you know, being vegetarian very young, being very concerned about everything. What are you putting into your body? What are you putting on your face? What are you doing? What are you spraying? You know, I was probably extremely annoying. I may still be, but I was probably very, very quizzical to a lot of adults. And I think one of the challenges is when there are many paths that have been forged, but maybe not the one that you're going to forge. And so there's no path. So you have to make one, and people can say, that's fantastic. But when you're in it with your machete through the stick, you can't see. You don't know what's going on. There's things wrapped around your legs and scratching at you, and you can't see ahead. And so, and I still feel that way all these many, many moons later.
Yeah.
More moons than I'd like to consider. I still don't really see the path ahead. I see what's behind me. I see what I've done, but I don't really know where it goes. I just know that challenges are good. Challenges make you really strong and really resilient. And the things I was very upset about as a younger person and wish I had been more privileged, had been more this, more that, less this, less that, now I'm kind of thankful for.
Yeah.
Because
that's interesting.
Yeah, and I would not have said that to you at a given point. I would have said, you know, I got dealt a terrible deck, and this is awful. But honestly, I just think it really makes you a uniquely tough person in a good way and a compassionate person.
I love that because, you know, I too used to have a different view of my past than I do now. But to find that idea, that beauty, I did a whole show a little bit ago talking to your topic here today. I did a show, I did a show on Stevie Nicks because I have followed Stevie Nicks, you know, forever. But she did a special. She came out and she shared some of the songs and her relationship with Prince, but she shared songs that never really made it to the album. Hmm. Never really made it. And I was reading your book. I couldn't help, as I was reading some of the first lines of your book, if you were describing her or you were describing other people. But it's beautiful when you read the magnificence of the words that you're choosing in this book and honoring beauty and beauty witch, right? The lair of the beauty witch is so important to really look at. Now, I come from a family where my dad married, like, seriously younger, my stepmom, after my mom died, married my stepmom. And what a bonus that was, because whether you knew it or not, you were going to get a sense of beauty or beauty. I used to call them BT from her, beauty training from Mama Doris, beauty training from Mama Doris, because she was so much younger. She was the same age as my sister, close to it. Had her children very young, 12 and 13. When she was 12, she had Joyce. When she was 13, she had Doris. But what I was so struck by is how we can become spellbinding beauty, nurtured and made more powerful by time. And those are your words. And I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, there are many things I could ask you about, but I really hung on to those words because it's almost counterculture. You see, the culture would have us say, I don't know, spellbinding beauty, but wait about 10 years, right? You and I mentioned Michelle Pfeiffer.
Hmm.
And I remember Michelle Pfeiffer like you did in Catwoman. And I recently saw her in a couple of other films.
Yes, yes.
And I often ask, there's a glow on the inside of her.
Yes.
How important is the glow on the inside as you take us on this journey to talk about the beauty witch?
I'm so glad you said that, because one of the things I always go on and on about is beauty from the inside out. And it's literal. It's literally what you put in the body. I come from a holistic nutrition background, so I'm kind of picky about that stuff. But it's so much more than that, really. And yes, food is energy, and that's all incredibly important. But, and it's funny that you mentioned her, because she is older. I think she's older than I am, which is, well, it's up there. And
we're not even going to go there for me. I'm not like, you know, it's interesting that we're talking about this, and then I want you to finish this, but it's really interesting because I think you meet people that they don't even know their age, right?
Yes.
Long time, my age, when people ask me my age, I was a decade off, because I never felt like, I mean, honestly, I wasn't trying to, what is the word I'm looking for, lie about it.
Right.
But the inside glow that you were describing and the way you talk about it in your book, it's so much more powerful in so many ways, isn't it?
It is incredibly powerful. It's an incandescence. It's a vibrance. You know, like, I would look at you and immediately, I don't care if that's your age. I would never ask. I would say, this is a vibrant woman. There's a vitality there. And that's what I think, if anything, we should be trying to cultivate. And we're mentioning older actresses. And yes, there is that inner glow. And you think, I personally, and this is not because I'm up there, but I personally think Michelle Pfeiffer is more beautiful now than she ever was. I feel that way about a lot of older actresses.
I do too.
And there's something in the maturity of the face. There's something in, you know, the bones. There's a confidence. There's a slower feline grace that I think gets developed. And I don't think we have when we're younger. We may have aspects. We may have the beginnings, but we don't really have that that calm confidence and that knowledge. You know, we haven't really built that up. We haven't built that experience. And that inner glow, to me, honestly, if I had to give you one thing that I think that comes from, I would tell you that it comes from being in your creative truth, let's call it, just recognizing that, just attaching to that and saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. Now, it doesn't mean everyone has to earn a living and everyone has responsibilities, but the people that I've known that have that inner glow, they're all doing something that they care about.
Absolutely.
Something that they love, and they're putting their passion into it. I was just making potions. I was just making products earlier this morning for to send out, and I was so happy doing it. You know, it started out like, oh, do I have enough rose water? Oh, did I remember to, you know, and then it just became this flow, and it became this. And it's just one, you know, it's just one of the things I do that I care about. But my point is that when you're in something, you're in the moment, you love it, you're passionate, you're giving it, and I believe it's very much giving back to you. And it doesn't have to mean monetarily. It's nice when it does, but it doesn't have to be. It just has to be a realization of your creative energies. And especially, I'll go a step further here, especially when you're a little bit older, and maybe someone like myself who's not had children by choice, and people who have, you know, don't have a choice in the matter, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But to have that creative energy put somewhere. Too often I feel like we do age. We age poorly when we're not putting creative energy someplace that we care about. And it could be anything. It doesn't have to be some big book project. It doesn't have to be. It can be anything that you care about.
It could be. But you see, what I love about what you're saying, Elise, for those of you just tuning in, I just got to tell you right here for a minute, you know, my very special guest today is Elise Marie, and we're talking about her latest book. And there's much more to this, which we're going to get into. But anytime a book comes across my desk, I get hundreds of books to look at to say, do we want to interview him? And I got to give a shout out to our friends at Llewellyn, Kat, the whole team, Linda, my producer, who gets with all those PR people and brings people together. I just so honor the work they do. It's a synergy, you see. And then I get a book and it comes across my desk, and it's a book, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, what? Let me just do a double take. The Beauty Witch. Yes. That is a yes. Well, do you want to look at the book? No. No, I don't need to look at the book. That's a yes. Are you sure? Yes. Please. You know, let's line that up. And then I go through the book, and I want to ask you about this, and we'll take a break in a minute. I am out of harmony when I am not in ritual.
Hmm.
Now, mm-hmm. I don't believe in balance. I'm just going to be upfront. I have a funny feeling you don't either, because it's hard the way we define balance for women. We've always defined it as equal parts of things, like your job, your career, harmony. See, that's what I like. I know I'm building a network and expanding on it this year. So I know 70% of my time is going to go to that, 20% to ping pong. And but at the same time, there's the spiritual nature, and I love what you put in this book, Ritual, and here's what you say about it. I love this. The word alone conjures the most sublime images.
Mm.
That is so beautiful. I don't know if you can see behind me. I have multiple altars. You can't see directly.
I can see a little bit. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yep. On the shelf up at top, you'll see Mother Mary and Kuan Yin. My takeaway from early years of Catholicism, Catholic boarding school, is altars. I took away some other things, but I got to tell you, nobody does it better than those Catholic churches like in the city, right?
Oh, everywhere, too. Oh. When you travel, they're so ornate. The incense, the whole bit, they've got it down. They, you know, they took from us quite well.
They did. But what you say about ritual is so contemporary, and yet I know that every word you've gotten here is based on ancient multicultural wisdom. Mm-hmm. Ancient multicultural wisdom. I want to talk with you for a minute on ritual and your altar, because I could have gone way further down in the book to find this, but you made this sort of a cornerstone of whatever else is to come. Can you talk about the power of that and how that has helped you cultivate yourself to be the woman you are today?
Absolutely. My concern with beauty rituals is that for most people, not a choice, but because of life and busyness and all of these things, and stress, that disgusting word that's always there, I feel that it's become something that's just, it's just a routine. It's your chore. It's another thing on the to-do list. Oh, I've got to put some, slap something on my face. And I've got to, you know, people. How,
oh, my gosh, you should watch me when I'm getting dressed. Oh, my gosh.
We're going to change that, Dr. Pat. We're going to change that.
I don't just slap it on there. To be honest with you, the greatest asset and up-leveling that happened to me in a sacred ritual way, in the beauty witch way. I must say this to you, and then I'm going to let you continue, because I think you're going to relate to this. I'm an artist at heart. I mean, you could tell by this part of my room, right? The day they came out with the airbrush.
Oh, like a makeup airbrush?
A makeup airbrush.
Oh.
That's a ritual.
That got going. Oh, that's funny. That's so funny. I've never experienced one of those, but I can imagine they're very exciting. I feel that way about, you know, brushes,
paintbrushes,
essentially. You know,
yeah.
I like to put face masks on with a brush. You know, so yeah, I get it. But we've all known people, and we do it ourselves sometimes, even.
Yeah.
Even I have done this on occasion where, you know, you just take a quick shower and you throw on some oil and that's that. And you think, no.
Yeah.
This is the body. The body is a temple. This houses your spirit. You've got to take care of it. And so for me, the altar, I think you were asking me about the altar.
Yes.
Is to me that wherever that space is, there should be a dedicated space in your home that no one else gets to get involved in.
Yeah.
Unless it's your cat jumping up, that's okay. But it's your space. And for a lot of people, it's the bathroom sink. It's a quick in and out, throw some things in the medicine cabinet, you're done. For others, maybe it's more of a dressing table. It's more of a, you know, I grew up with a grandmother who had a very involved dressing table. So
oh, my gosh, me
that
too.
Was, oh, totally. To me, that was the ultimate female glamour. And of course, I have to have one, too. But you know, for most people, I would say it's a quick thing. You know, you throw something in a bag, you throw something in a medicine cabinet. And what I'm trying to convey a little bit in that part of the book is to say that no matter what your space is, it doesn't have to be some grand art deco piece of furniture. It simply has to be a space that's yours, that's dedicated to the ritual of beauty, which is the ritual of empowerment. It's the ritual of taking care of yourself. It's the ritual of building your own confidence. And again, for most people in this harried world, to have those few moments where you're just treating yourself well and nothing else is in existence and you're just feeding your own beauty and your own confidence, and you know what, you take it out into the world and
yeah.
you give that to others,
yeah.
Whether you know it or not.
It's so important. I mean, Elise, we're going to go to a short break. Can you tell people how they can find out about you, and also please mention some of the products that you have on your website, because I'm already all over, like, the Higher Power one. That one. That's just one of them, but there's a couple more on here. It's just so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I just love that you're doing this, because it really, when I look at the attention to detail, not just here, but in your book and on your website, it is that next level that cuts past the layer and gets to the heart. How can people find out about you?
Well, the easiest way will be the website, which is thebeautywitch.com, and you can find everything there. You can find my writing, links to my book. You can. It's right now. It's on Amazon. It's still in pre-order stage, I believe, because we got backed up a little bit with printing, global printing issues. So the official release date is now May 8th in the States and June 8th elsewhere. So you can find my products there. There's an atelier, and you can order products there, and you can write to me, and I'm always happy to answer questions. I'm on social media. I have to admit that I don't pay a lot of attention to Facebook or Twitter.
I know.
I kind of go on there once a day in an obligatory mode. But I do love Instagram because I love visuals, and I love seeing visuals. And so I'm pretty active on there. And so I'm the Beauty Witch official on, because some people are using this name now.
Of course they are.
I'm not so thrilled about.
Well, you know, I have a friend that I said, if you don't buy that domain name, okay, people are just going to copy it. But as so many things, Elise, the energy of what you bring forward is your soul signature. To me, what I've learned about that is I had the entire region of China copy the Dr. Pat show. And at first I was like, and then I was like, okay, go ahead. I'd love to meet your Dr. Pat. But you see, this is like nobody has your blueprint. Nobody has your style. The way you have written this book, I love it. I was reading some of this and I thought, is she sitting next to me right here? Is she right here? Is she here? Taking me through the steps of ritual, from getting naked to setting the stage to lighting my fire and chanting your new thing. Like, is she right here? Because the way you write is so very different, and it's so heart and personal. When we come back, what we're going to talk about, all you out here, get ready. If you got a question for Lou, please give us a call, 1-800-930-2819. When we come back, we're going to talk about all of these things. Beauty as a way to take care of yourself, as a way of empowerment, as a way of confidence, right? Not beauty in a very way.
No.
Beauty from the inside out. If you don't feel it from the inside out, we're going to help you here today, right? How about sustainability when we're thinking about fashion and lifestyle, right? When our Green Channel comes up, it's going to have a separate section for fashion and fashionability. And then think about this. What would your own beauty potion be? If you all have any idea, call it, tell us. If you could concoct something, what would that be? 1-800-930-2819. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Been a life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne, and the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knutson, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnutsonSpeaks.com.
You question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison Bryant, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Bright brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps for your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have a conversation with Elise Marie. The book is The Beauty Witch. And again, you can find out more about that. You can go to the website, thebeautywitch.com. If you go to the website, thebeautywitch.com, not only will you get to find out more about what we're talking about, there's a press section, there's a gallery, you know, some things that you can look at, right? Especially looking at a couple of things in the blog are really, really cool too as well, when you, if you could take the time to do that. But part of this is understanding what goes on. And the reason I love this, Elise, the reason I love it being called the Beauty Witch, because there's something about that. If we just said the beauty, right, and not the Beauty Witch, you would not get the same mystical elegance from it. And I would like you to talk about that, because, you see, unlike you, I had a grandma that had the whole, everything, and my stepmom, too. And my stepmom taught us three girls, right? There were all girls before my brother. And she would talk about perfume. And if you watched her, you know, we don't do a lot of perfume these days, right? Not the way old school would do it. When you heard her talk about Marilyn Monroe, where she died, when Marilyn Monroe passed, my mom was crazy. She would not talk about her beauty, but she would talk about something she saw, something in her eyes. But the ritual, if you watch my mom, nails, lipstick, long red nails, lipstick. I mean, we grew up with this, but she glowed on the inside as well. She was, I think I get my optimism from her. And she was all about that. But what I love about your book is you take us through and you talk about cycles. You talk about the power of honoring those things that have been with us for so long. And I don't want us to forget to take this ancient wisdom and bring it forth to honor and empower each of us. And I got a sense from your book that that also was a message.
It absolutely is. I don't want these things forgotten. I want, and beyond that, I want them discovered. You know, I had always intended for this book to be something that is for all ages, really. And you're talking about your stepmother.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I did have this very glamorous maternal grandmother. She passed very young, and I didn't know her even as a teenager. I didn't know her. I think I was 12 when she passed away. So I didn't get to benefit from her. Her knowledge, her incredible womanliness. I didn't have that role model like you have. I had just a very different kind of mom and aunt, and so I didn't have that very glamorous womanly person to look up to. So I had to find it. I had to really find it, and I found it in old movies. I found it, you know, in all of these ways, and I think it's really important. And one of the things that drove me to write the book in the first place
was whether there was this need to get this knowledge out. Whatever it is that I know, I wanted it to come out and be somehow useful, hopefully, to someone, and hopefully a lot of someones. And also, it was kind of like I've had a few times where people have joked with me, friends or even just readers, and said that I was kind of their fairy godmother, you know. And I kind of wanted, without it being quite that Disney, I wanted it to be something where a younger woman, a preteen, or someone who maybe didn't have access to anything like this, could have a guide, could say, okay, this is a really good way to step into being an adult.
Yeah.
And it's a thoughtful way. It's not just a, you know, put on 60 pounds of highlighter and bronzer and go hair extensions and get out the door. If that's your thing, that's great. But this is more of a, what makes you unique? What makes you different? What's, you know, it's not about really covering up flaws or at all. Or it's just about being you. And there's, no matter who you are, there's a unique beauty there. So take it and go with it, nurture it, and be confident in yourself. You know, because you have something unique to give this world. Everyone does. And if I can inspire any degree of confidence in anyone, I think that's a wonderful thing. Then I would feel like I did my job.
Yeah. And, you know, the reason I know that is because I was so pleasantly surprised later on in the book that we enter talking about the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Such a powerful, powerful mm-hmm. part of the book. And, you know, my mom loves the moon, right? You know, this is a woman that came from the deep south, married my dad, ended up in New York. It almost killed her. But I'm kidding. I know it killed my two stepsisters. But, you know, for her, she brought so many things with her. She brought so many traditions with her. Mm. And, you know, you could have put anything in this book, but you decided to take us on what I call the moonwalk. And you explain the different aspects of the moon, but you explain them in ways that invite us to honor our inner beauty. Because isn't that what the moon does in so many ways?
I do. I you know, it's the internal. It's maybe what isn't always seen and occasionally is brought out into the light. And I think it's very important to live with the cycles of the earth, which also means the cycles of the heavens, and which are the cycles of the moon and the sun and the planets, and not in a way that's complicated or, again, another thing on your to-do list, but in a way that we are disconnected from the natural world. We are, and we have to be, really, to function in a lot of ways, and so my wish is that we reconnect in a way that is actually kind of modern and practical. It is actually something that's doable for a lot of people. And I'm not asking anyone to get out and grow their own herbs and pulverize them and put them into potions. I don't even do that. I don't have the patience. But to connect with the basics of the lunar cycles, which will be very beneficial. That's the whole thing, is once you kind of get in the flow, it may seem a little bit confusing at first, but once you get in the flow of it, it's actually so beneficial because you say, you know, this is really not the time to try to shed those holiday pounds. This is really not the time to go and get waxing done.
Yeah.
Ouch. Ouch, double ouch. But it's really a good time to be bringing something into my space, a new thing into my space, try something new, a new beauty ritual, new beauty potion, a new ingredient, a new look, a new anything, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and it's you can take the beauty aspect and you can radiate it out into the rest of your world, where when you are more cyclical, you do notice that you're going with the energies present.
Yeah.
You're not fighting the energies and saying, well, you know, why is this difficult today? You know, and I mean, I talk about that a lot in my column, because the stars are the stars. They do what they do. They're not particularly concerned with whether it makes us unhappy or not. The idea is to not argue with it and just say, all right, this is the energy available for me to work on here, to work with, to heal, to let go of, to bring forth. Why not just go with it?
Yeah.
You talk about stress. Well, you take away a lot of stress if you just go with what's there. Like you were saying, harmony. You know, I use the word balance when it comes to conjuring potions and
exactly.
recipes, because it to me it's I like a lunar solar balance and things, just because I like that in myself. I'm very solar powered, but at the same time, I'm also, I always say, solar powered, lunar guided. You know,
yeah.
I'm very guided by the moon cycles, and yet I'm very I'm all fire.
Yeah, you sound like me.
Right.
You do. You sound like me, because, you know, that is a great way to describe it, because I have my sun and three other planets in Sagittarius, and I have my moon.
I knew I liked you.
Three other planets in Capricorn. And so it's really interesting. I was really looking at the part in your book where you talk about new to full moon and where what the guideposts might be for that, and full to dark. And I love the ideas of cycling. You know, balance, you're right. There's, when you're conjuring something, even if it's grandma's spaghetti sauce,
mm-hmm.
there's
mm-hmm.
got to be a balance of mm-hmm. acidity, right? Mm-hmm. There's got
yeah.
You've got to have that. But I love the way you talk about stress, because it's an interesting question to ask yourself. Can you, if you think about this, everybody out there, think about this. Can you think about any moment where flow or letting go or being in the flow, right? Can you think of any moment that you're in that stress also can come in? You know what it's like? It's like thinking about fear and gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
They can't coexist. And I love the way you took this on, because whatever the phase is, whatever that moment, whatever the moon cycles is, whatever that moment, if you blink, you might miss a moment of your life.
Mm.
And I love what you said about stress, because if we are in the flow of things, if we are in those moments where we're not agonizing over our past or obsessing over our future, that's where peace breaks out, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's like you're saying, like love and fear can't exist in the same space, and love is always going to be stronger. So in my opinion, that peace of being in your creative stuff, all your good stuff, if stress interrupts, you know, if it's buzzer rings really loud, you know, you kind of go, I did it this morning. I did it this morning. Okay, I dropped another potion bottle full of oil, and now it's everywhere, and I get to clean it up. But then you're like, all right, well, you know, wow, the whole kitchen smells like jasmine. Ooh,
oh, my gosh.
Not so bad. You know, and I'm going to be smelling it for 5 days because I use a really potent jasmine. So you experience and you process that stress much differently. And you're never going to escape stress. I mean, everyone's going to have stress. And I do believe, and this might be not something that anyone agrees with, but I do believe that there's a bit of stress you must have, because it keeps you on your feet. It keeps you on your toes.
It's reacting.
The idea is to not have it overtake and to find those moments. If you have a lot of people have majority of stressful lives. It can be a combination of their work lives, their home lives, their family, everything. And the idea is to take those moments, you know, those little moments, those little beauty breaks that just bring you back to present time, you know, and bring you back to you. And it's like taking a meditative breath in my book. That's how I feel about it.
And yeah, I had a moment like this, Elise, this morning. And I had a moment where I started my morning and got things rolling pretty well. And an email came in my box. And I got 4 phone calls about the email before I actually got to the email. And then I read the email, and I had a moment where I had to choose what I was going to feel, and then what I was going to think, and then what I was going to do. And fear and faith, they cannot coexist on the same plane, like fear and love. And I don't mean religious faith.
No, agreed.
I mean faith, trust in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this nanosecond with the phones ringing and messages coming over Skype about this one email and about this situation with a person I know. And I read the email, and I said, I know the truth of myself. I know the truth of myself. And I have incredible faith in the laws of the universe. And if I react to this in a certain way, I will get more of it. And then what I realized is it's always turning out for the highest and best of all parties. And I thought about this even later on when I got a call from a couple of my people. And I said, you know what? I'm really grateful. I'm grateful that scenario happened. I am grateful because the universe is doing for us what we did not know how to do for ourselves so that we can move on with our vision. See, what I asked for in the expansion of our network was the right people to show up, the amazing orchestration of ease and grace by which we're doing things, and to attract people that want to create a network that's completely based on uplifting. Now, look, the bottom line is we're all people.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bad hair day. I was thinking today it was a little bit of a bad hair day.
No.
But we all have those days. We're human.
That's what hats are for.
I'm not saying Pat. And yet what I know is if I don't let that email take me off the amazing week that I was seeing for us and for the people I love and for the world and what we're doing, I wouldn't have been able to be fully present for this interview. And I think when you talk about that beauty within and you talk about the rituals, you're also inviting us to establish that level of empowerment within.
Absolutely.
So that the what I call the blip in the matrix does not take us off our powerful, empowered, confident, strong, expansive endgame. And you do it so beautifully in the book.
Thank you. And I completely agree with you. I love what you said about how you got the theme. We've all been there. And if you're fire like me, your first reaction is going to be to roar and blow up. And that's always mine. And I have to stop it and give it a moment of intelligent pondering. But I love what you said about you trust in the universe, but then a few minutes later you said, I trust in myself.
Yeah.
Because it's all one.
Yeah.
You know, it's all one. And I agree with that. I think the stronger you are inside, yeah, and not that we don't take knocks, of course we do. We take them all the time. But I used to have this god-awful day job. Awful day job. I came up with this concept in my brain, which was beauty breaks. And it wasn't just, oh, go fix your lipstick, lady. It was, I would literally have a joke to a friend of mine who is a coworker, and I'd say, I'm going to hide in the bathroom. And I would go into the ladies' room with my little bag.
I do the same.
Right? And
yeah.
I would only take, I think, at most 5 minutes. So nobody would ever raise their brow at me. And I would stand in front of it and get, and I'd take a deep breath. And out of my mojo bag of tricks would come the spray, the perfume, the little bit of serum, which I always call beauty oil, dab, 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 dab. Shake my hair out.
Oh, that's great.
Take another breath. Just get that sort of warrior this coming out.
Totally.
Okay. You can't get me. And I'd walk out the door, and I'd be transformed. I'd be ready to go. I'd say, bring it on. You can't bother me.
Yeah.
I mean, and it does, and beauty has...
That's amazing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I hope you'll come back.
Oh, I would
because
love...
Because there's so much more I'd like to talk with you about that is not just about the book, but also outside of the book related to the magic that you bring to the world. Because we need you.
Oh.
We need you. We need your voice. And, you know, for the ladies that are listening to the show, and also for the men, but for the ladies that are listening to the show, it's this double-edged sword you all go through, where if you take too good of care of yourself, you're called vain. If you don't take enough care of yourself, you're called sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
But the message from Elise Marie today and, you know, the beautiful book, right, The Beauty Witch, is you get to call your own shot. And what Elise does is she provides you with a blueprint, a sacred blueprint, one that you'll get to honor every step you take in the way you want to take it. And her words are just captivating. Elise Marie, thank you so much for today. One last question. What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with today?
I would like every person listening to know and to share this with people that they know that their beauty lies within, and they are stunning creatures. And if they could just know that and go forward and do whatever it is that they need to do in this world and want to do, that they have to give themselves permission to do that. And I would love, I would just love that. I would love if everyone just understood that they are uniquely beautiful.
Yeah.
And they have a unique contribution. That would make me very happy.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday to you. Many Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. Over on 405 southbound, just north of, looks like 112th Avenue Southeast, around mile plus number 9. A recent disabled vehicle partially blocking the right hand of the lane. Good thing, though, DOT crews have been dispatched to take care of that disabled vehicle. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's a brand new show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. It's Savvy Solution with Gina Gay Gray. NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden is sharing his reaction to a weekend trip by the U.S. Secretaries of Defense and State to Ukraine.
Good.
That's what Biden said when he was asked about the journey Lloyd Austin and Antony Blinken made to the war-torn nation. Their trip came 2 months into the war between Russia and Ukraine. Biden also told reporters he feels good about French President Macron's re-election victory.
I feel good about the French election, number one. Number two, I tried to talk to him last night. We spoke with his staff, but he was at the Eiffel Tower having a good time.
The U.S. is selling Ukraine $165 million worth of non-standard ammunition. A statement from the State Department says it's the kind of ammunition that many Ukrainians still use in weapons that are from the era of the old Soviet Union.
House Republicans are getting ready to grill Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas when he testifies before the House Judiciary Committee later this week. National Border Patrol Council President Brandon Judd believes the Biden administration will keep the policy known as Title 42 in place.
That only because other Democrats are putting pressure on them. If it wasn't for that, no, they would have just completely let it go.
Title 42 is a Trump-era order that blocked asylum seekers from entering the country during the pandemic. Mayorkas' first appearance before the committee on Thursday comes as the Biden administration is catching heat from Republicans and Democrats over its plan to loosen the border policy. 2 weeks of jury selection ahead of the sentencing phase of convicted Parkland, Florida school shooter Nicholas Cruz is being tossed aside. Judge Elizabeth Scherer this morning granted the prosecution's request to start over because 11 potential jurors who were improperly dismissed were not summoned back to the court for another round of questioning. She's telling the more than 200 people that were asked to return for a second phase of screening they're now no longer needed.
All right, you'll be seated and redirected.
Actor Johnny Depp and his ex-wife Amber Heard are back in a Virginia courtroom today as their defamation trial continues for a third week. Heard is expected to take the stand along with actors Paul Bettany, James Franco, and entrepreneur Elon Musk. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Here are the major rules for all the KKNW online contests. Entries for our online contests can be completed on the announced website and will be accepted through the deadline published on the contest page. Winners will be selected at random from all eligible entries received. One entry per person. You could win event tickets, trip giveaways, or other prizes of similar value. To be eligible, you must be at least 18 years old, have not won in the last 30 days, and reside within the KKNW listening area. Complete contest rules are available at 1150kknw.com.
Let's go ahead and take a look now to alternative talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly rain on and off throughout the day today. High temperatures around 57, 58 degrees. Tonight, clouds and rain will hang around. Low temperatures dropping down to about 42, 41. For Tuesday and the rest of the week, pretty much a cloudy, wet, rainy week with high temperatures hovering in the mid-50s and low temperatures in the low 40s.
Want to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Let us help you produce a professionally sounding radio show or podcast. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local. The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasili and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Savvy Solutions with Gina Gale Gray. Take the journey back to me with a freedom coach and oracle. Find your solutions by joining me, Gina Gale Gray. Together, we can create a powerful synergy that will take down the walls that surround your heart and allow your emotional being to guide you towards connection and compassion. Feel yourself grow ever closer to remembering who you're meant to be with my 40-day Journey Back to Me program. You have a personal power within you that I would love to help you unlock so that you can achieve your newfound freedom. Savvy Solutions with Gina Gale Gray starts now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. I'm Dr. Pat. I get to take this journey. You know, the journey back to me with Gina Gale Gray. And what you heard was an introduction from what's about to come. You know, this is one of those amazing times where I get to hang out with somebody that understands that there's many different facets to a journey. But in the end, all roads lead to home. And that home is you. But what is it about her journey? You know, when you think about how loss can bring us to a place that most of the time many of us would not have gone to with that loss. You know, had I not lost my mom at a very young age, I would not have had that experience. I would not have what I learned from that. I probably wouldn't have been shaped into the person I am today. And there's so many different things that we can point to, but the question really is about our soul. You know, what is it that we're looking for on the scale to freedom? We don't want to be shackled by our emotions. We don't want to be shackled by our thoughts. We don't want to be shackled by other people. We don't want to be shackled by our own inhibitions, lack of confidence, or our ability to step out into the world fully. So when you think about Gina Gale Gray, and you think about Savvy Solutions, what you're getting is a journey back to me, which is a journey that takes you on this
beautiful, beautiful roadmap, almost as if you were taking that beautiful road to Hana, if you were looking at a landscape of things that surprised you and scared you all at the same time. Today, get ready for this. Journey back to me. What? Why? How? Gina Gale, great to have you. Great show.
It's great to be here, and thank you for that introduction. You nailed it. I feel like you have taken this journey with me, but I know that you've taken it on your own, and it's vital. It's something that we all do over and over again. As long as we're here, we are still journeying back to me.
And I love that we're talking about that, because how often have we heard people talk about, I did a study. For about 10 years, I did this study. I started to Google the word stuck, and I followed it, right? I followed that word for about 10 years, and I watched the magnitude of the number of searches go from moderate to just off the charts. But the journey back to me has many facets to it as well. The journey back to me could also come from places that people feel lost. Tell us about the journey back to me and how it came to you.
Well, it was created basically to save my life. And as all beginnings, it began after an ending. And we always have a choice with an ending. An ending can be the end, or it can lead to a new beginning. And that's not a simple concept. And it certainly wasn't for me. It wasn't in my story. This was a chapter in my life story. And we all have many chapters in our life story, and several of them aren't wonderful. So what happened, the ending that I endured was losing my son. And losing my son, who was an incredible human being, he was a special person, and he survived 23 years in a body that they predicted wouldn't hold up for 7 or 8 years. We don't believe any of that stuff. We never did.
Yeah.
And we
never will. Yeah.
And probably the most incredible thing about his existence was the fact that he never spoke words. However, he was incredibly intelligent. He understood everything, and it taught me so much about communication, because all communication is at least two-sided. There's receptive communication, and there's expressive communication. And those who cannot express communication with the use of words have an incredible gift of receptive communication. They understand all. They don't need language. Their understanding, you know, supersedes language and words. And so I had 23 years of learning about all of the ways that we communicate and listening to Spencer communicate without words. And it was such a learning experience, and we taught many others as well. We actually, in our together, we created programs. We helped a lot of other people understand that if your child or your loved one cannot speak words, they can still communicate. So all of that was just a part of our life for 23 years. So when Spencer transcended to light, when he dropped his body, I was privileged to be able to go on that journey with him as far as I was allowed to go. So I always am familiar with his voice inside my head. And it's not a bad thing. It's never been a bad thing. It's always a good thing. And when he became spirit, it became so much more powerful and so much more profound. And during the 2.5 years of my intense suffering after he left, the voice that I would hear from him became so familiar, and it was so supportive, and it was always inspirational. That's how I began to discern very early on that this is Spencer. This is, you know, of course he is still here. He is still with me. He's never left me. He was with me before he came into physical body, and he's still with me now that he is full on spirit. And so the messages, I began to call them Spinspirations. And they weren't just coming to me. They were coming to everyone who knew Spencer. And one of his favorite ways to communicate is by the use of song lyrics. Because if you never speak words, using those who are speaking words in the form of song is a very clever way to get your message across, especially with country music, because country music is always telling a story, right?
Oh, boy. You know, my stepmom was from the Deep South, and boy, she had her own interpretation of what every one of those songs meant.
And they do. And the language is clear. The words are very hard to miss. So he had his playlists of songs, and he had his favorite artists who would sing certain songs, and he would use those lyrics to get his messages across very clearly. So anyway, I'm saying all of this just to help everyone understand that when the people that we love cross over, drop their body, become spirit, they still communicate with us. If we learn to listen to the silence, which, by the way, is the name of Spencer's book that is being written as we speak, I am putting the words on paper. He is speaking the words, and the book is titled Listen to the Silence, Messages and Miracles from Spencer, Who Never Spoke Words. And three chapters are complete, and they are definitely messages of miracles that we all need today. We need this help. We need this guidance from our spirit guides, our angels, our guardian angels, whatever you call the unseen. The unseen is not the unheard. And so these messages, he used these messages to communicate with me constantly from the time that he left. And one of the most profound things that he came through and got through to me with was about trauma. And trauma is a very, very real, very painful, very difficult thing for us to navigate.
Yeah.
Almost everyone here has endured some form of trauma. And trauma is not within our control. It comes in the form of an accident or an injury or an unexpected, something that is completely out of our control. What is within our control, and this came straight from Spencer, was the dramatization of our trauma. And just a few months ago, Spencer spoke very loudly to me, and he said, Madre, you are dramatizing your trauma, and it's time to stop.
Wow.
And I had to sit down. I had to swallow that. I had to acknowledge that that was true. It had been 2.5 years, and everyone knew that I meet in my journey now, I would introduce my loss of Spencer. And the understanding that he helped me come to was, that's not a good way to honor him. For me to be stuck in the dramatization, the trauma was bad enough. It was real. I don't recommend, I don't wish for anyone to ever hold their child when they take their last breath. We hold our children when they take their first breath. It's not okay. So it happened, and it's real. And people today are suffering this kind of trauma in mass. There are so many people who are losing their children, their parents, their spouses, their friends, their sisters, their brothers, everyone, all these relationships. We're watching people suffer. We're watching people struggle. We're watching people choose to leave. And that's trauma. That's real. We don't have control over that. But the dramatization of that trauma, we do. And Spencer got through to me to get over that. And then he also helped me understand that there are another set of people here today who are traumatizing their drama. They're so addicted to drama that they are turning it into trauma. Why are we doing this? Why are people doing this? Why is commiserating worth the time that we're spending doing it? And yeah. So it goes both ways, and there's ways to help stop. We are always in control of the drama part. If we create the trauma out of the drama, shame on us, yeah. But we can stop at any time. We can we can acknowledge that. We can look that in the face, which is what we must do. Look that in the face, just like Spencer put it in my face. Madre, you are dramatizing your trauma.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I was. So I stopped. I stopped, and I decided, okay, it's time for a new beginning, right? We're never alone. I'm not alone. I lost my purpose. I sure did. My purpose for 23 years was super mom, and I did it well. I did it. So I even have an S on my chest that was tattooed on my chest for super mom because, you know, and when he left, I was left with what now? What am I now? And, of course, I wanted to just stay with him, and that just was not. I had to find my way back to my true purpose. My true purpose is now what I found as a soul ocean. The answer to what my purpose is we have a purpose. I lived my purpose. My purpose was taking care of Spencer, taking care of, you know, a husband, a daughter, a family, businesses, property, horses, and on and on and on, all the things, the things, the things. And that was a purpose. That was a very valiant purpose. And I have the awards and the badges and the cape, all of that. But that was not my soul purpose, because it wasn't found within my soul. And so the journey back to me helped me create this and discover this. And the real answer is there are so many people here today who deserve to figure this out as well. As we're going through what we're going through collectively, we're learning so much about what is not. And, you know, in order to change that, the answer is not out there. If we continue to look out there, we notice how much is not right out there.
Yeah.
And how much is without of our control. And the closer we look at that, the more we realize the only thing that we do have control of is inside of us. And that means we need to take the journey back to me.
Yeah. It's so easy. I mean, I love what Spencer has passed on and has invited you to, because, you know, what I was struck by this morning was how easy it is, given where we are in the world and how we have so much information, right? How easy it is to step into the drama of our day, right? And not the karma of our day. You know, and what I mean by that is, you know, it's interesting because I work with young women that have been devastated, just like you shared. And I want to thank you for sharing a very personal story. I mean, I felt what you were talking about. I can't even imagine what it would be like, you know, to watch my child take their last breath. There's no words. There aren't words for that. And I've often thought about how some of those things that happen are happening and help us carve a pathway that we wouldn't otherwise step into. It's kind of interesting. I was having that discussion this morning with one of my coaches, and I said, you know, I almost got off my game today. That's my view of it. I have to simplify it. I have to talk about my game, right? Because I said, I almost got off of it today. I said, I almost got to a place where I could have let something completely derail me today. But then I looked at the show that I was getting ready to do with you and the show I just did. And I was reminded of one thing. And that is what you just said. That no matter what's going on the outside, we are the people that have ultimate control of what we're going to take in as our truth and what we're going to do from anything on the outside of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't imagine that you went through what you went through without outside forces pressing on you. you know, without people trying to tell you what to do. How did you stay true to your heart?
A lot of time alone.
Yeah, that's it. I get that.
Yes, and realizing, because it's like anything, if you're going to step into any position of your desire to help others, it's always a landmine. It's always a field of landmines. you tread very carefully and very softly. And so for me, the answer was to retreat. I knew I needed to retreat, because when Spencer left, a cascade of my entire life left. And that part I was not prepared for.
Yeah.
Because with Spencer, we had what we called a village. He had all these labels. We hated all the labels. But once he went on the ventilator in 2012, so he was on a ventilator for the last 7 years of his life. So that meant we had to have extra people, extra help. We had to increase the village to. And I always knew in my heart that they were on the payroll, but I didn't want to believe that they were just on the payroll. And as soon as he left, that truth was the first glaring truth right in my face.
Yeah.
Which, yes, they were on the payroll. And so it was just hurdle after hurdle after hurdle. So the best thing for me to do was I retreated. And in that retreat, I did things like I went to the Mayan Mountains and I went on hikes. And there was this one particular hike that was that is the hike that created the journey back to me. And I didn't realize it until a year later, that the symbolism of that hike. And what it was it started with about an hour hike up a Mayan mountain in the jungle. And hike trails are never just like a staircase straight up. You hike a Mayan mountain and you are doing this and this, and it's raining and there's creatures and mosquitoes and it's grueling. And the Mayans, they had little bitty feet, and they made little bitty steps. So there's a lot of times when you're stepping sideways, and you're just feeling the energy of these people who created this. So the climb up the mountain became, in my Journey Back to Me program, became the physical body first 10 days of the 40-day Journey Back to Me, because it was all about the physical being. Can you get yourself from the base of this mountain to the top of this mountain? And in order to do that, in our journey back to me, in our life, there are a lot of people who the physical body is, the relationship with the physical body is not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
There is something that has fallen apart. There's been some neglect. There's been some deterioration. There's possibly been some health issues, some medical issues. Changes, aging, all of these things. We're all dealing with all of these things. And in that first 10 days of the Journey Back to Me, just really looking at what is the relationship with your physical body? Have you honored your physical body lately? Because if we must every day. If we're going to climb a mountain to do anything every day, honoring the physical body is highly recommended.
Yeah. I love that you're doing that, because I don't think the body lies.
No.
Right? And, you know, it's really interesting. I can always tell whether I'm telling myself the truth or telling myself a little fib, right? Like, I'm telling you, I had two situations this morning, one that involved two people. So I had to check in with one of the other people to see if he was okay. You know, I don't know what you want to call it, but just to get a different perspective. And, you know, and then the other situation, but I could tell you right away, it's exactly like you said, my body was going to tell me, did I really let go of it or not? And it tells us in different ways. Now, I got to tell you, this morning for me, no physical reaction at all. The only physical reaction I'm having today is for my booster shot that I got. Which is the first reaction I've had. But I understand it, and I understand why. And, of course, I do a lot of questioning. But when we are sideways, Gina Gale, this is what I want to ask you about. When we are sideways, right, understanding what you're creating to get the what of the journey back to me is so important, because that one thing you just said about the body, I don't care what it is. Maybe you're like, maybe you get an email and your neck hurts. Like, what? No, it's not you sitting in the chair. You're squashing something you got back. And every day we're faced with this, aren't we? It may not be to the extent you were, but what you were able to develop to help people was based on that, and yet it applies to every single thing in our lives, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And the body is such a wonderful messenger, but it's not the only messenger. It's connected to these other bodies. But it is what expresses loudly to us in the form of pain and discomfort and illness and all of these things. And unfortunately, what conventional medicine does is here's a pill to numb that,
yeah.
Which solves absolutely nothing. All it does is shut down the receptors that it shuts down the body. So you know what the body does? The body says, well, I'll show you. How about I give you a little pain over here now? And then how about I hit you in the head a few times? And, oh, my gosh, now I'm having, you know? It is persistent, and it will continue to persist, and it's working in connection with all of these other things. So that's why in the first 10 days of the journey back to me, we're looking at your relationship with your body. How well are you listening to your body? How well are you honoring your body? What are you feeding your body? How important is hydration? How hydrated is your body? Because these are things that we haven't been taught to the extent that we deserve to be taught. But the body knows and the body remembers. And there's just so much that can be remembered when we tap into that and we go, wait, what is this? Do I go make an appointment and go meet with someone who has a name tag and a white coat and ask them what's going on with my body?
Right.
Or do I spend 5 minutes just asking my body? It may surprise you what you will discover and what answers you will get.
Oh, my gosh. You're so right on about this. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk about it further because, you know, honestly, the email I got this morning was the end game. The situation started on Friday, and I knew over the weekend that something was not sitting right with me, and I was going to have to do something about that. Now, fortunately or unfortunately for me, well, fortunately, you know, it worked itself out. But your body knows, you know, you could feel it in your body when something is not sitting right with you, and yet you can't pinpoint it. And by the way, comment that we got on Facebook, thank you, Brian, for this. And let me leave you with this, and then we'll go to break. The journey back to me saved my life and got me back on my life's purpose track. Incredible journey. I could never live enough days of mental, spiritual, and emotional freedom to thank Gina for this. When we come back, we're going to talk about it all, because had I had made my adjustment on Friday, I probably would have been able to understand what I was subconsciously carrying for 3 days. And I'm telling you now, you do not want to be carrying stuff that you don't need to carry. When we come back, Gina Gale Gray is going to take us on this journey on the trifecta of it all, right? As Brian said, mental, spiritual, and emotional freedom. You got that? Mental, spiritual, and emotional freedom. It's not a joke. This is for real. And that's what Gina Gale Gray has put together. Let's take a short break, Benny, if we could. We'll be right back.
Our ability to align with our
our true highest self and create freedom and prosperity is infinite. Take the journey back to me, a guided journey back to your true self in 40 days with me, Freedom Coach and Oracle Gina Gale Gray. Move from overwhelm to balance, composure, and vitality. Restore connection and compassion. Open your heart and tap into your limitless power within your soul. Begin your journey at anywheremindbodysoul.com.
Are you passionate about impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison Bryant, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Bryant brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Flight, B-L-Y-C-H-E.com.
Introducing The Brilliant Black Man Show with Melissa Johnson. Tune in as Melissa shares the stories of successful black men across the country. This show is designed to change the narrative on how black men are portrayed in the world. The show will highlight their brilliance and how they are making a difference in their family, community, boardroom, and the world. For more information on the show, visit wildministriesllc.com.
Everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Joining me here today is Gina Gale Gray. But Gina, before we keep going here, what is the best way for people to find out about the Journey Back to Me and work with you directly? How can they do that?
Well, go to my website, anywheremindbodysoul.com, and I have a dedicated page to the Journey Back to Me, and it's also on my homepage. So you can read as much about it, sign up for it, ask free consultations. There's lots of ways to connect, but getting to me through my website is the easiest.
Awesome. Thank you. Look, during the break, you know, we were talking about a couple of things, but, you know, one of the things I mentioned was emotional, mental, and thank you for the message from Facebook, because physical, emotional, mental, and soul beings, that's what you say we are. You know, that's what, you know, the 40-day journey, you know, helps us come to that true highest self-realization, as I think you say it. But let's talk about this, because a lot of times when I create things, people are shocked that I create them for X amount of time, and they always come back and they're always asking me something. They're always like, why are you teaching a 7-week course? And it never enters my mind. Like, what do you mean, why? Right? It doesn't enter my mind that it's a 7-week course. It's just, this is the body of work that we're going to get done. Do people ask you about the journey, like 40-day journey? Do they say, why 40 days?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me the answer.
I know it's so important, but we're such an instant gratification culture, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And, you know, there's power in numbers. The four has a lot of meaning, four and variations of four. And 40 is a well-known number. I created this with a 40-day quarantine challenge. And, of course, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that was March of 2020. And I thought, oh, quarantine. And I looked up the meaning of quarantine and why 40 days. Why not 30? Why not 60? Why not 90? What's the meaning of 40 days? And that was the beginning of it. I did a 40-day quarantine challenge on Facebook. And halfway through, I was censored. And back then, we didn't know what was going on. And,
no.
And I was completely, thrown off by the fact that this was going so well. I had so many people following, and it was we were making progress. And what happened? What happened? And what happened was, everything I'm talking about is you have this power within you and you don't need outside help. And I know a little something about respiratory viruses because I have a child who survived one for 7 years that was meant to take him out. So a lot of the things that were being fed to people as what we must do in order to survive this, I happen to know from firsthand experience were not true. And the language that I was using and the encouragement that I was giving to people to, practice consideration and boost your immune system. I talked a lot about the immune system and the power of us to heal. And of course, used Spencer as, here's an example of a child who survived RSV and became ventilator dependent and lived for another 7 years, not 7 days, 7 years. So I know a little something about how to do this. But I got censored in it, and so that just fired me up.
Yeah.
So the next thing I did was take the program, private and to my clients, and then developed it into the 40 days. Is there are four aspects that I work on with people during those 40 days. And we are multidimensional beings. We have more than four aspects, but the core four aspects are the physical body, the emotional body, the mental body, and then the soul body. And everybody knows about the physical body because that's what we walk around in. And a lot of people only know about the physical body. And the very next layer, the first energetic layer outside of the physical body, the density, is the emotional body. And the emotional body is our filter. And that filter was put in place when we were created as human beings. It was put in place to filter all the information coming in through our mental being, which is outside of our emotional being. That's where the antenna are. That's where we're bringing in all the information with our senses. Our mind is out there. Our brain is in here, but our mind is out there. So if we stop making use of that filter and we go from thinking to doing with our actions, behaviors, words, creations, it's not the same as if we keep that emotional body working. So when we go from thinking to feeling, our doingness changes. I promise you it does.
It does.
It does.
It does.
And if the people who are running this world today had their emotional bodies plugged in, they could not be causing the harm to people that they are causing. We would not have the homeless population that we have. We would not have the people suffering that we have.
Nope.
We would not have the ability to turn a blind eye to other people's sufferings and pain.
Yep.
We would all be sharing more. So you can look at the population today, and you can discern pretty quickly who is in touch with their emotional body. The second 10-day period of the journey back to me, that's what we focus on. We focus on the emotional being. And there's a modality that I became certified in 2019 after Spencer left, and it's called the Emotion Code. And the Emotion Code is this magical, beautiful, simple way of connecting, I connect as the practitioner. My soul connects with your soul. Mm. I ask your soul permission to release some emotions that are trapped within your being. I have not met a client yet who said no. So as soon as they say yes, the release starts. And with the release, relief begins. And once those are cleared out and the emotional body returns to its rightful place, I see the emotional body as the divine feminine. She is here, she is important, and she is just as important as the sacred masculine, which I see as the ego.
Mm-hmm.
Our mental being is really important. Our ego is really important. I love my ego. She's a powerful thing.
Yeah, you can't learn humility without your ego, you know.
No. And I never want to dismiss her. Yeah, she gets you into those places, doesn't she? But it is what it is. And reuniting, my goal is to reunite that ego being, the mental being, with the emotional being. And when that happens and when there's an agreement made and the trapped emotions are cleared, the beautiful process that happens.
Yeah.
So the third 10-day period, we focus on the mental being. And the mental being is tricky. It does not like having to wait in line behind the emotional being.
No, it's not.
No, no. But I'm reintroducing a very old-fashioned, okay, let's go ahead and let the masculine open the door for the feminine. Let's help the masculine remember that it is as great as it is when it is supported by the feminine and when it supports the feminine aspect. Reuniting those is just so important. These are the energetic unseen bodies, and they're very, very important. Then the fourth 10-day period, we get into the soul, and the soul is all. It is inside. It is outside. It is all of those pieces integrating together. And when we get into the soul 10-day period, we're focusing a lot on being in service to others.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, we don't start there. So many people who are in the service industry and who are givers and caregivers and take care of everyone else in their family.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes this is our parents, sometimes it's our friends, sometimes it's our children, sometimes it's all the care professionals. You can only care for others to the extent that you have cared for yourself. And when you run out and your cup is empty, it is absolutely necessary to come back to yourself, refill your cup, and then you have to give again. It's not selfish. It is the most...
it's essential.
It is essential.
It's essential.
Thank you.
That... The ability to take care of yourself goes back thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And we learned that from the earliest days walking the earth. I mean, early, right, early mankind knew that you're not going to be able to put that table if you don't get enough sleep. I mean, they're not talking like you and I are talking now. But they knew it. They knew it intuitively. Indigenous people know it intuitively, right? If you ever speak to some of the people in the high area of Peru, they're very clear that what they grow in that high area of Peru is necessary for their survival in that environment. But you know, I don't know what it is about us. We just think that we are so phenomenally superhuman that we can do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, and sometimes taking care of ourselves. Can I get back to what you said earlier? Sometimes it's really learning to do what Spencer said, to really cut the drama out, right?
Right.
Boy, if we could just do that one thing today, right, for people, how many times a day are you reacting to something? Well, does somebody cut you off on the road? Or maybe you got a delivery in the mail and it was broke? or maybe you saw your child's grades and you're thinking, have you even gone to school this semester? Or maybe your boss comes in one more time and asks you for something that wasn't due for a week from now. Whatever this is, if we allow for those energies to take a very dark marker and mark our soul, that is literally what it does. And boy, I'm telling you, with the world we live in now, don't we have to figure that one out?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And it's that, what you're talking about is we've given our power away to all of that. And now is the time to take that power back. No one has taken anything from us. We gave it away. And the best time to take it back is now. Because if not now, then when?
Yeah.
And that's the question. Why don't we take better care of ourselves? We can only take care of others to the extent that we're taking care of ourselves. And there's a lot of people who realize that, and if it means enough to you, you will find a way. If it doesn't mean enough to you, you will find an excuse. And there are a lot of excuses. And the physical body part, the beginning of the journey, I'm going to keep repeating, it's about your, we're going to look at your relationship with yourself.
Yeah.
It's not a yoga class. It's not a nutrition class. It's not a hydration class. It's all of those things. It's asking you to ask yourself, using my map, you'll be asking yourself questions that are very, very interesting questions. People get that map and they go, oh my gosh, I never thought about this. And it's like, exactly. It's time to think about that. What is your relationship with this aspect of your physical body? What is your hydration status all day, every day? And how many things is that related to? Because it's a simple formula. Everything that comes into your body is related to something coming out of your body.
Yeah.
It's a very simple thing. And like you mentioned, sleep. The indigenous people knew that when that sun came up, they required adequate amount of sleep to get out and do what they did. And not only did they connect with that aspect of things, they were also connected to their piece of the earth. So why are we not taking better care of our earth?
Yeah.
Start with ourselves and work into our families, our children, our loved ones, our extended family, our communities, and our earth, our cosmos. Why are we not taking care of all of these things?
Yeah.
I don't know, but start with me, journey back to me, journey back to you. I can guide you in that journey because I carved those paths out. I found them the hard way, like I do everything the hard way.
You know what's interesting about this, too, and I want to ask you about it because it is a very important conversation about getting to know oneself. You know, there are some of us that know. Some people call it intuitively. A lot of us have, you know, pick up other people's stuff. You know, we glom onto it. And, you know, we can know something about someone, right? But, and the person has never even really told us, but we have a sense of them. You know, we have a sense of their energy. We have a sense of what they carry, right? All of that. And sometimes even with that information, you may not be able to choose an exit strategy. And what I mean by that is a lot of times in our lives, you look around and you say, wow, I'm not here to be in relationship with you because my job is not to change you. My job is to do me. And yet there have been circumstances in my life, and I'm sure yours, where, you know, you're in a job and you need that job. And until you can figure your exit strategy, that's what you have. I've also been in jobs where I've had people, coworkers, and maybe people even reporting to me that, you know, on any given day, if I had a moment of clear and concise decision-making without guilt, shame, or fear, I would have just looked at the circumstance and changed it. But we have to be able to take it all into consideration, and that's what you're helping people with. Not just the mind, not just the emotion, but putting the whole thing together, isn't it? That's what you're talking to us about today.
Yes. Yes. It's very strategic, and each of those parts are important. Because they're aspects of us, and we spend our whole life taking this fragmented approach to health and well-being, and we'll spend a few years or a few months or a few moments dealing with our emotional health, or a few months or minutes or years in mental health, which the old paradigm of mental health was really just a paid place to commiserate, and that it wasn't as effective as just leaving things behind and learning to clear those things out that we're creating, because the emotional aspect of things is so important. And when it's reconnected to the thoughts, the thinking process, then we understand that those are paired for a reason, and use that as a guide, it is life-changing. It can change the direction that you take every minute of every day. And that can change your life. Checking in with that every day is really important to do. And then when we reach that last 10-day period and come back to the soul, that's the, who are you? I will ask my clients when we get deep into some work and they do like an extensive emotion code package, I'll start asking them, especially if the heart wall has been removed. My first question to them will be, how is your soul today?
Mm.
How is your soul today? People don't even know I don't know. I don't understand the question. It's a tricky question. It is a trick question. How is your soul today? And the thing is, we don't know our soul. Our soul is in there calling us home, and that's what the journey back to me is. Is on day 40, you are more familiar. You have a better understanding of what your soul is and what brightens your soul and what your soul came here to be, because we spend so much time knowing and figuring out and being programmed to figure out what we're here to do. Okay? What am I here to do? Got that figured out. Went to school, got the degree, got the job, got all the things. What am I here to be? Well, what does that mean? You really can't do what you came here to do until you know what you came here to be.
You know, I love that we're talking about this. I know we're going to have many more conversations to talk about it. But what I'm really struck by is, you know, this journey that we go on, and you call it Journey Back to Me, because Journey Back to Me is really about what you said. And it gets, and so we so confuse it, right? You know, it's this place of being, right? And I've been through a few things in my life. You've been through a few things in my life. And how does it all come together to help me be who I am today? And that is fascinating, because I have to tell you this morning, you know, I always know I'm making progress on my own personal journey in a couple of different ways. But the number one way is something I learned, and it was something I think I learned from either Mary Morrissey or something the Dalai Lama shared. It's not good, it's not bad, it just is. And I used to use that mantra, but today, for me, given everything my body was feeling through the whole weekend, today for me to wake up to a couple of little situations and just be in that space. It's not good, it's not bad, it just is. And that to me is progress.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I am a person that grew up with reactions to things. My mom dies, I'm homeless, you know, whatever those things are that cause reactions. So I love that you're bringing this into the world. I love that this is something that people will be able to experience the shift.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what I love about what you were talking about today. It's not an academic thing. It's you're going to experience this, right?
True. True, especially with emotions. And I'm so glad you said that, because that is such an important measurement of emotions. Feeling the emotions is what a human being is able to experience. And it doesn't really need language. And we don't just have a few emotions, and we don't just have five senses. We have at least 360. And we are such powerful multidimensional beings with this energetic part of us, and it's time to reintegrate all of that so that we can all become the superhumans that we are here to be. That's what I want to guide people to. I want to remind people, you have all of this power. You have these abilities. Your physical body has its ability to heal whatever issue comes along, and the more you sit with that and honor that and remind your body, hey, I know you got this. What can I do to support you? What can I do to support you? I can eat really colorful, beautiful, natural food. I can drink nice, clean water. I can move my body. I can breathe deeply. I can practice meditation, pranayama, yoga, something. Or sit.
Exactly.
Sit in silence. But do something to honor your body and then watch how it will perform.
Yeah. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I know we're going to have more to talk about and more to come, you know, but you're right. In moments where you can't logically figure out your next move, silence is a great go-to, isn't it? Thank you so much for today. I'd love to ask you, how do people find out about the journey back to me? And what's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with today?
Well, the mantra that I teach when we start, in June, I believe it's June 29th, and it will be a Cancer new moon. And doing the journey as a group is wonderful. Everyone doesn't want to do it as a group. Some want to do it as an individual. If you want to do it as an individual, you can start whenever is right for you. Go to my website, Anywhere Mind Body and Soul, or anywheremindbodysoul.com. Sign up, send me a message. And the mantra that we teach when we start the journey back to me is, here I am, alive, fully empowered to be who I am and do what I came here to do. When you complete the journey back to me, you realize what you came here to do is be who you are. You got to know who you are first.
Boy, you do. And isn't that a journey all in itself?
Boy, it is.
That is. I got to tell you, this morning, I had like this perfect storm coming up, brewing up. You know how they use that phrase? I don't even know what that means. But I was so grateful that it's not good, it's not bad, it just is. And boy, if I didn't have that response, I could have disrupted a lot of people's energy.
Thank you for listening to Savvy Solutions with me, Gina Gale Gray. Take the journey back to me with a freedom coach and oracle on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Come back every fourth Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific to further your progress towards rediscovery. You can also join my 40-day Journey Back to Me program to unlock your true potential and reunite with your soul. There's no time to waste. I'll share Spinspirations, which are messages from a spirit named Spencer, and lead you toward your solutions. Go to anywheremindbodysoul.com and ask for a complimentary mind, body, and